These words together as a church are so beautifully done. Read these words with me today. For feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, His word shall stand forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Today's sermon is titled, An Ordinary Day. The scripture text is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. We'll read that in just a moment. God's prophetic plan for our lives, for you and me, is always on schedule. God is never late. His plan is always on schedule. We pray for burdens and troubles and concerns to be lifted. And some prayers, some of those prayers are answered quickly and immediately, while it seems that other problems and burdens just stay there with us, and they seem to linger. And we still wait for the answer, and it seems to come so slow. Hear me today. There is no burden lifting day if we give up. There is no victory if we stop believing. There is no answer if we stop asking. There is no deliverance, no salvation, if we stop trusting, if we stop having faith. There is no hallelujah moment if we let go. Let us look at these words today in Luke's gospel, the first chapter, beginning in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fearful upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the promises of this word today. By the way, verse 18, he goes on to say, Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? I'm an old man. My wife is well advanced in years." They had a burden in their lives, didn't they? Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were godly people. In fact, we have on the overhead, you'll see an image of them. It's a representation of these godly folks. Zacharias was a priest, and Elizabeth, she came from the line of Aaron, a high priest. And so Elizabeth, as we know, was also a cousin to Mary. who was later known as the mother of Jesus. In the Jewish culture, there was a disgrace and great embarrassment to a couple that had no children. And generally, most of the blame went to the wife. The law of God had taught that children were a sign of God's blessing. And in fact, it's recorded in Deuteronomy 28:4, "Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body." Sterility in marriage was considered to be a divine visitation or a curse. And so this loving woman's barrenness was perhaps believed to be because the Lord had closed her womb, as he had done to Hannah, as recorded in 1 Samuel 1:6. So you see this image, this picture of a righteous man and woman serving God faithfully, but their prayer for a child, the great burden of their heart, the great cry from their spirit, that prayer had gone unanswered. There's no doubt that their desire for a child had become paramount in their thoughts, in their lives, in their everyday. They kept wondering, oh, why, God, we longed for this. Certainly they knew as they aged that other people looked at them and whispered about their problem, as sometimes people do. The burdens in our lives, the things that we are concerned about and worried about, sometimes can be so overwhelming that they eclipse or they remove from our consciousness the many other blessings that God gives us. God is blessing us, but yet we're so caught up and concerned with that burden that we miss the great blessings that God is pouring into us. And I suspect that is exactly what was happening to Zacharias and to Elizabeth. This morning, some of you are carrying burdens that often overpower all the good stuff that God has put into your life. You pray, you ask God for His help, and you wait, just like Zacharias and Elizabeth. Some of you are carrying burdens of matters of health. Perhaps it's cancer or disease that you're praying that a loved one is battling. Some of you are carrying burdens regarding matters of finances and employment and business affairs. Some of you are carrying a deep burden of a troubled relationship, perhaps family issues, even a broken marriage. Some of you are carrying deep concerns for a son and a daughter or a grandchild. And your heart is just broken at times as you pray for them. Think about this couple. In God's divine plan, He knew, God knew that there was a day that was set aside as the burden lifting day for Zacharias and Elizabeth. A day in which He would reach down and answer their prayers in a wonderful, spectacular, and beautiful way. Think about it. God knows that a day has been set aside for your burden-lifting day. A day in which your prayers are answered. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because as people of faith, we still believe God answers prayer. And we hold on and we keep believing. And think about it. God already knows a date's been set aside for you and me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Zacharias had gone to work that day in the temple. It was just an ordinary day. It's an ordinary day, and he's fulfilling his duties as he burned incense in the temple to the Lord. The Bible says he was alone, and suddenly, on just another day of worship in the temple, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Can you imagine that, standing there? There's the angel of the Lord. And the angel gave Zacharias incredible news. He He told him, he said, your prayers have been heard. Praise God for that, amen. Your prayers have been heard. And he and his wife would have a son. He wasn't going to be an ordinary boy. He already had a name for him. His name's going to be John. Now, there's some things about that day that we should just step back and look at. As I've already said, it was just an ordinary day of him in the temple doing his duties. It had been preceded by a very ordinary yesterday. There was nothing unique about it. He's carrying out his duties in the temple. And though the Bible gives no reference to it, I imagine Elizabeth was home just doing the normal things she would do on that day, on that ordinary day. And on that day, God brought the most incredible miracle of the answer to prayer to their lives. An incredible answer to prayer. And the Bible is full of wonderful examples of burden-lifting days. It was a very ordinary day for blind Bartimaeus as he was sitting by the road begging. He was just hoping to get a little more money in his cup that day, as he had done every day. But the Bible says on this day, he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by and that he cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus looked down at that poor blind man and he said, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight. That day he was just hoping for a little extra money. But what he got was so much more than he could have ever imagined that day. Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. It was just an ordinary day, and Jesus was passing by, and Jesus looked up at him and he said, today, salvation has come to this house. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Zacchaeus found the joy of knowing Christ as his Savior that day, a day that just started out like any other day. As Jesus passed by the sheep gate in Jerusalem, he saw a lame man there with an infirmity. He was lame. He couldn't walk. And like so many others, he would lay on the various porches surrounding the sheep gate by the pool Bethesda in hopes that an angel would come and stir the waters. And if he was the first one in the water, he would be healed. So he's there waiting like so many others that are lame and crippled and sick. And Jesus walks by and Jesus looks at him and says, do you want to be made well? Do you think he did? But see, he kept thinking this is going to happen when the angel comes down and stirs the water. But here's the Son of God walking up to him saying, do you want to be made well? And Jesus said to him, rise up, take up your bed and walk. By the way, it caused Jesus a lot of problems because that man was healed on the day he was healed. The Bible says that immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. Think about it. When he least expected it, this man receives a miracle from God, and his prayers were answered beyond what he could have ever imagined, that he would have sight again or that he would walk again or whatever those needs may have been. And the blessings in each of these examples, for Zacharias and Elizabeth and all these others, the blessings were greater than they could have ever imagined or asked for. Think about it. The angel spoke, you see in his image, spoke to Zacharias. He explained that his son would be no ordinary son. He told him, he said, your son is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit while he's still in his mother's womb. That's unbelievable. Miraculous. He said that many would rejoice at his birth, that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, that he would make the way ready for the Messiah, that he would be the one preparing the way for the long-awaited Messiah, the chosen one, the Son of God. Zacharias couldn't believe what he was hearing. He couldn't believe it. And he questioned the angel. He said, I'm an old man. My wife is well advanced in years. It's incredible. For years, this godly man had prayed for God to give him a son. And in spectacular fashion, God answers his prayer. He sends an angel to deliver a message, an angel named Gabriel. With this unbelievable news, he's not going to have just an ordinary son. He's going to have a special son that'll prepare the way for the Savior. And Zacharias couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. Because of his unbelief, you remember what the angel told him. The angel said that he would be mute and not be able to speak until the day that his son was born. What a strange, sad day. God had gave him news that was an answer to his prayer by an angel, no less. News that was greater than he could have ever imagined, and he didn't have the faith to receive it. Did you hear that? He didn't have the faith to receive it or to believe it. So now he's mute. He can't say a word. He doesn't have the joy of running down the street and telling his brother-in-law that always gave him such a hard time about not having kids that Elizabeth was going to have a baby. He didn't have the joy of telling the neighbors that always whispered and looked at him kind of odd that God had answered their prayer that she was with child. He couldn't say a word because of his unbelief. Think about it. Zacharias and Elizabeth had hoped for a little baby to love, to see themselves in, to keep their memories alive. And God gave him a child that to this day, 2,000 years later, we still call his name and know who he is. The blessing was more than he could have ever hoped for or imagined. If you look with me in the Word of God in the book of Matthew, in the third chapter of Matthew, in verse 11, it records the words of John the Baptist where John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he, Jesus, he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John understood exactly what Jesus was going to do. Go down a few more verses. In verse 13 it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Listen to these next words. It says, then he, John, followed him. That means that when Jesus said that, he started walking into the Jordan River. And John didn't say another word. He just followed him right into there. He followed him right into that river. And so John follows him to that river. And it says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We even have the image of this great event on the PowerPoint. No ordinary answer to prayer. No ordinary son. God was giving an answer that says, your son is going to be the one that prepares the way for Jesus, and he's going to have this incredible privilege of baptizing the Son of God. Can't you just see it? John standing in those waters, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus comes up out of the waters and a dove, just like this dove behind me, descends from heaven. The heavens open. And it says that there was a voice that said, this is my beloved Son. No ordinary answer to prayer was it for Zacharias and Elizabeth. Oh, they had waited for years. The answer to their prayer, the blessing, was so much greater, more incredible than their minds could even have ever thought of. When your prayers are answered, you will receive a burden lifted from your heart. When your prayers are answered and the need is met and the burden is lifted, that lost loved one finds salvation in Jesus. That sickness, perhaps it's cancer, is completely healed and removed. That relationship, that broken marriage that seems to be broken beyond repair, is suddenly mended. And with great power and wonder, God brings the answer, and it is greater than you ever imagined or thought of when you prayed and asked Him to meet that need. And it can happen today. It can happen in God's timing. And it will happen if we don't give up. I know some of you are thinking right now today, Pastor, you don't know what I'm praying for. You don't know the burden I'm carrying, what's heavy in my heart. I prayed so long, and I believed, and I waited. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, in 55:89, it says, "For my thoughts are not as your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God has His own way. We think we've got it figured out. God has His own way, His own timing. Retired ministers Roger and Jacqueline Banks had prayed for their son Gary, for his salvation. They had prayed for him for 35 years. 35 years. As a teenager, he had turned to drugs. And as an adult, he was dependent on drugs and alcohol. He was constantly in and out of trouble. Year after year, they prayed for him, and his life was a mess, and there was no evidence of God intervening. But one day, August 1998, at First Assembly of God in Des Moines, Iowa, their son Gary showed up at church. And at the end of that service, Gary came forward, kneeled at that altar in front of that church, and while crying a flood of tears, asked Jesus to forgive him, to come into his heart and be his Lord and Savior. Gary was gloriously saved that day. He was baptized and he joined the church. 18 months later, just 18 months later, when Gary was 52 years old, he died of a sudden massive heart attack. But that's not the end of the story. You see, after he died, his mother had found in his room a legal pad with 25 pages of notes and memories and memoirs written by her son Gary over a 15-year period. In those notes, Gary recorded moments when he talked to his mother or his dad. He recorded moments that he had visited their home and times that they would call him just to tell him that they loved him and were praying for him. Year after year, for 15 years, Gary had written these events of his contact and encounter with his mom and dad when they so lovingly continued to tell him how much they loved him, that they were praying for him, that they were believing that somehow he would find Christ as his Savior. In those pages of handwritten notes, Gary would often comment, "I know my parents love me very much. Maybe someday I'll love Jesus the way they do." What a witness. They had no idea the words they had spoken into his heart, the prayers that they had prayed to him, had begun to make an impact in him. And the Holy Spirit, in faithful response to their prayers on that given day in 1998, caused him to be in that church and to come forward and give his heart to Jesus. Think about it. All those years, Roger and Jacqueline Banks had wondered if anything they ever said, if any prayer they'd ever prayed had gotten through. They wondered if there would ever be an answer. Little did they know, the Holy Spirit was breaking through, using the words of love and concern for their son, that this lost boy would finally find Jesus. And they'll tell you, Roger and Jacqueline Banks would tell you that that day in 1998 was a glorious, burden-lifting day. It was a day that they had longed for. It was better than they could have ever hoped or imagined. This morning, I'm going to tell you as your pastor, I'm trusting that Jesus is here. Because His love always brings Him to where we are. You remember the story in the Bible of Jesus coming to the tomb of Lazarus. We have it here in the overhead for you. Jesus walked up and you remember what He said? He says, if you believe, you will see God's glory. And then He told them, He said, take away the stone. You can see it in this image here. And He cried out with a loud voice. He spoke His name. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that He came forth, but He was still bound in the grave clothes, bound head and foot with those grave clothes, and the work wasn't finished. Yes, He was alive and He was out of that tomb, but He was still bound. Remember what Jesus said? He said, loose him and let him go. In many of our lives, we're just like Lazarus. Satan has taken the hard times. He's taken the burdens and the difficulties and the things that are so heavy, the disappointments and the failures. And he's convinced you and me that we're in a tomb, so to speak. We're in a tomb of no hope, of no way out, of ever seeing the victory, of ever having an answer, of never having that burden lifted. And we're convinced that that's just the way it is. But Jesus is here. And He's saying to us this morning, He's saying, take away that stone. Take away that stone, He says. He's looking into that tomb of the burdens of our lives and the heartbreaks. And He's shouting with a loud voice, come out! Come out, He's saying to us, by His power and His Spirit. And just like Lazarus, we begin to take that first miraculous step at the call of Jesus. But we're still bound. We're still bound by the grave clothes of fear and doubt and unbelief. And just like that day, that day at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus is here and He's saying, loose him. Loose him and let him go. Loose her and let her go from the grave clothes of fear and doubt and unbelief that would still restrict us when Jesus has called our name. On an ordinary day, on a Sunday morning of worship here at Heritage Church, like so many Sundays that have happened before, this just may be your burden-lifting day. Oh, hallelujah. Are you ready to believe? Are you ready to receive the answer that you waited for so long? Oh, my prayer is today. Let today be your burden-lifting day. Amen. Would you bow your heads this morning? Brother Mike, if you'll come back to the piano. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment, allow the Holy Spirit to gently, sweetly, and softly minister in this place this morning. Allow Him to build faith in your spirit, to believe for the impossible. What seems so miraculously challenging is possible with God. And He's speaking to your heart today. And He's telling you, don't step back, don't give up, Maybe today is your day. Maybe today is the day that you prayed for. Maybe today is the day that your burden is lifted in a miraculous way. As all heads are still bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, if you know the Lord is speaking to you today, I'm going to ask you just to stand up, walk out of that aisle and come down to the front and just face me and face this part of the church. And everybody keep their heads down and eyes closed and to be praying. God is speaking to some hearts this morning. Please be obedient. Would you step out and come forward and let us pray for you this morning? There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be embarrassed of. Just come and stand right here in the front of this church. Allow us to minister. Allow Jesus to minister to you. Would you do that today? God is speaking to more hearts. I can feel it. I know He is. Some of you are sitting back this morning and you know God is asking you to step out. You know you need to come forward and by faith receive what God wants to give you today. Would you do that? Would you come? Anyone else? There's those here standing this morning. Is there anyone else that would come forward today? Anyone? Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've asked some of you to help us in prayer today. And those of you that I've asked, would you please come forward and stand behind one of these folks here? Just lay a hand on their shoulder, lay a hand on them to pray for them, to believe God for them. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Brother Wood. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is here today. Do you believe that? Sherry? I've got one more. Thank you, Jesus. Nancy? Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Ramey. Thank you, Ramey. Thank you. Earlier today, I made reference to Zechariah 4 and 6. It says, so he answered and said to me, the angel of the Lord said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then it goes on, he says, who are you, O great mountain? As if he's saying, who are you, O great burden? Who are you, great heavy anxiety or problem? There is no problem. There is no burden that is so great. Because it goes on to say, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. It's saying no matter how big the problem, God speak grace to it. He said, grace. Grace to it in His name, in the name of Jesus. And by His Spirit, He brought about the answer. And that great mountain that seemed so hard became a plain. Oh, what a great day it was and is in this place today. Those of you that are praying, if you would stand. And if you would just pray, if y'all would please stand in the sanctuary. If y'all would please stand. If you would just put your hands forward toward these that are here praying today. Let us today, in faith, believe for God's miracle working power in this church right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for answers today. In the name of Jesus, God, give victory. Father, in the name of Jesus, bring the burden-lifting day to this precious woman. God, meet that need in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. God, lift the burden. Meet the need, Father, as only you can. We thank you now in faith, believing, God, to meet these needs. Father, touch Mary. Oh, God, give her deliverance. God, touch her, God. Let her praise you and thank you for what you're doing in her life today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we lift Angela up. God, you know the cry of her heart. Oh, Father, answer that cry. Meet that need. By your Spirit, God, meet this need in this church today, in her heart, in her life. Oh, let her rejoice. Let her give thanks to you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you today. We thank you for your ministry by your Spirit in this place. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Oh, Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We begin our worship today with our scripture in Matthew 19 and 26. May we look at those words again. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. Oh, we thank God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for that promise in your word. I want to encourage you today. Don't give up. Don't stop asking. Don't stop believing. Don't stop thinking somehow God's given up, because he's not. Because all those years, that mother and father, Roger and Jacqueline, 35 years they prayed. They just kept loving that wayward boy. They kept saying, we love you, son. We pray for you, son. They kept speaking the truth of the word in love to his heart. Amen. Well, we do that in love as parents and grandparents, don't we? We speak that love into the hearts. The Holy Spirit does the work. What did Jesus say? He says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. We catch them, he cleans them. That's how it works, isn't it? That's right. Problem is, sometimes we act like we're the junior Holy Spirit. We're trying to clean them up before the cop. See, we just need to preach Jesus to them. We need to give them the word in love and let the Holy Spirit do that work of drawing and convicting. And Jesus will clean them up. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Thank you for being in God's house today. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us. I just pray you felt God's presence. Continue to pray for those on our prayer list, the needs of our church family. Continue to lift them up in prayer. Let them know your concerns. Send them notes and letters and emails. Let them know you're praying for them. What a great blessing that is. Brother Newton Buckley, would you dismiss us in prayer today, sir?